accession number 20304, reel 5.
Alan Clark, Reel 5. You were talking about the importance of sport in the army.
And then, of course, there was in the cavalry regiments, there was gymkhanas. I did think of something else just then. And shooting was a great thing, rifle shooting. Because lots of people attend for the at Bisley for the Queen's Prize now at Bisley, and generally speaking, I would say that the peacetime regiment would. Try to foster sporting activity because it helped to bring a sense of comradeship and can you turn it off? Let me have a think.
Esprit de corps?
Yes, esprit de corps. And it's well known pre-war anyway that the officers would go off on leave and they'd go hunting and etc. And it wasn't fortnight's leave in those days. They used to have about 3 months off on occasions, I think, or take extended leave, and then or they would go on safari. Or in India, they go tiger shooting and various things like that. So sport did play a terrific part in the peacetime army, I'm quite sure.
And the emphasis, presumably, was on team sport?
Team sport, yeah. Except for rifle shooting.
And boxing, of course, is not.
Oh, yes, boxing. That's another one. I've forgotten about that. Oh yes, boxing teams, and of course they did athletics. The tug of war teams were very popular too. You often see photographs of regimental photographs of 1902 tug of war team at Double Paw or something like that sort of thing. I cannot think of anything else.
What about a soldier who didn't like sport?
I would say that most of them did. I mean, it's well known that if you get a set of chaps, fairly of young men, the first thing they do when they've got nothing on is to kick a ball about, isn't it? And regardless of whether, and I think you'll find that most of them participated in at least one of those sports. I mean, even if the cross country people, I mean, you didn't have to be an agile athletic type to run. And I think that everybody participated in some way or another.
Did you ever get soldiers who, in civilian life, had been poachers?
I never came across one.
Did you have any who had been gypsies?
Never came across one. No.
How do you feel now about having served in Cameronians in the Second World War?
Well, I feel I had experience. Everybody's experience. Individual experience is different, and you cannot equate to somebody who you know very well. He says, well, I was at casino, I remember so and so and so and so, but you can't actually imagine what his experience was as against your own experience. And I think that it was a sobering time in ways, but everybody tends to think of the happy times and the hilarious things that happened on occasions, and you forget all the bad things. Not forget, but they fade faster than the happy times. I wouldn't have missed it for the world, but I don't. It was a time that you should have been doing something, I feel, whatever service you were in or whatever you were trying to do. I mean, take the fire service. They suffered terribly in the blitzes. They did a good job. I mean, any of those, the wardens, the rescue people, they all did, and so did the Navy and the Air Force and everybody. But I think that's all I could say for the minute.
Did unless it you've got leave another. You with any after effects?
Not as far as I know. A few aches and pains, of course.
I think you've got one or two points that you've missed out, that you've thought of.
Yes. Going back to the Blitz in London, if I smell burning paint on wood, that takes me right back to that time. going back to Italy, I did mention we were going towards Ardea when we advanced from the beachhead, and what struck us all then, that the fields there were covered in poppies, and somehow I don't think we thought that was a very good omen. While we were at Anzio, I only saw one man that went, as we say, bomb happy. He was absolutely a juddering wreck. And he, I can't remember his name, he was an original 2nd Battalion man who'd been at Dunkirk and with the battalion all the time. So I think he was just mentally exhausted, I should think, by that time. The other thing that I don't think I mentioned was that when we were being relieved after our stint in the line, as they say, that we were always shelled when the takeover was taking place. I do not know how the Germans knew that we were taking over. And at one stage, we were being relieved by the Yankee army, and this was probably prior to our move to the 5th American Army when we were going up to Anzio, and they had issued the Yankee soldiers with our own tin hats and not theirs, which was, I suppose, was an idea. They hoped the Germans wouldn't think that they got raw troops in front of them. In that position, we did quite a lot of patrolling, actually, and there was a standing patrol in an old summer house, which I remember quite distinctly, down on a forward slope. And I took a brain gun down there and spent a couple of hours there, frightened to death, listening for all different sounds, until our patrol came back. Let's get rid of that one. Now, we go back to... This is another place, I cannot remember where it happened. But we were... The C Company were going to do a raid in support of somebody else's, they were going to do something, and there was a diversion, you know, to be created. And we were stationed in this Italian barn, huge place, covered in straw, nice and comfy, yeah? We were told that the raid, we would not be allowed to bring any wounded back with us. They were to be left as they were. Anyway, with a bit of luck, we had, the raid was cancelled. But in the morning, well, I was wearing a thick woolly vest, because it was winterish, and I picked 16 bugs off my vest in the morning. So that's had nice, clean Italian barns. I did mention about that. Then there was another incident which happened, and again I can't remember the location. We'd marched up somewhere, from somewhere to somewhere, and we were told to fall out. I think B Company went forward. There was a sunken road and a bank leading from it away from the road, away from the sunken road, and we all flopped down this bank, undid our equipment, took our packs off, relaxed, and suddenly there was a lot of firing, and I looked up over just at the back of us, and there was the Cheshires with their Vickers guns belting away at something over the other side of the sunken road. About 2 minutes afterwards, a platoon officer came along and said, "Line that bank, line the sunken road, line the bank." We all tore down there, and then he came along, fix bayonets. We all fit, well, it's actually, they said fix swords, because the rifle regiment always, they call them swords, not bayonets. Fix bayonets. It's B Company are being counterattacked. There was a lot of smoke, and the Vickers gun was belting away. He said, "Right, over you go, 15 but up." We went over the top, down, couldn't see a thing. And B Company had obviously consolidated the position, and we didn't have to do anything. We came back to the sunken road, but I can't remember what happened after that. But I can always remember that astonishment by looking over my shoulder up the hill a bit, and there are these Vickers gunners there, belting away with a Vickers gun. We were talking about Isernia when we moved up there, and the weather was so terrible. Everybody was drenched. And the company commander, he commandeered all the old wood and things he could get hold of, and they had a huge bonfire in the square there, and all the blankets were draped around any sort of thing that could be used to drape a blanket round to dry us out. I don't know what the... I remember... There, they put. I know I was guarding a. He wouldn't let the inhabitants use any of their wood, so he put out pickets round the back doors of the places so they couldn't use their wood. We wanted to use it on this huge bonfire. I don't know if that was playing cricket at all. I don't know it was. I mentioned about the 3-tonner, didn't I? Going down, aren't they? Now, the other thing was that I'm still a member of the Hampshire Comrades and London branch, and we were invited to a parade and church service at the Royal Hospital Chelsea. It was a governor's parade, and a lot of London branch turned up, and our standard bearer was going to carry the standard into the church. We were inspected by the governor. some of the I think some Southampton branch came up and coach, so there was quite a few of us, and we had nice service, and we were invited into the mess for wine and sandwiches and things and eats, and there was a chap there. He had a General Service Medal with a Palestine bar on it, and I'm talking to him. I said, "Oh, so you must have been in the 1st Battalion." He said, "Oh yes, I went out to India in whenever, but he missed the medals in 1937. He must have got there later than that, and he went to Palestine, and then he went up the desert and et cetera, et cetera, where they went to Malta and to Sicily and Italy." And he said, which battalion were you? I said, the 1st battalion. I told him that where I joined in Sicily, et cetera. And he said, what company were you in? I said, C company, 15 platoon. He said, it's a good job you were left behind because he said, if you'd have come back to England with the battalion and gone in on D-Day, he said, you wouldn't be standing here talking to me. Which I thought was jolly nice of him. And I think that's about all my reminiscences